This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
And it is hour number two. Carol Lawrence, Mike Morin on 107.7 The Pulse. WTPL, Monday through Friday, Food for Thought. You can also see our website, which is interactive and very helpful. foodforthoughtnh.com. We're also on Facebook as well. And the show is brought to you by Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now the drive-thru in Londonderry, the brand-new location, and look forward at an Adam Sandler movie near you. Don't blink, though. Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. This is hour number two. Hard to believe it's even going to be more fun than hour number one, if that's possible.
We do have a good time.
We do, yeah. We better.
Everybody keeps telling us that they never thought that we'd have enough, content to talk about. And that really is never the case.
No, and I'm thinking, maybe we ought to pitch the station. We do 4 hours.
No, that's okay.
Okay. We don't have that much content.
I think it works just beautifully.
Okay.
Really. Perfect time slot. It's good. But let's welcome on our next guest. This is our weekly segment, Donna's Delights down in Delaware. Daryl and I met Donna and her husband Ted down in Grand Cayman over Christmas, and I knew right off she was a foodie. And so she calls in each week, and we chat about her foodie adventures, I guess.
Good way to put it.
So welcome, Donna.
Well, hello. Did you miss me?
We did miss you.
I would be like Culture Club. I know you missed me. I know you missed me. Miss me? I missed y'all.
I never pictured you to be a Boy George fan. Now, come on.
Yeah, a Boy George is my boy, you know. I used to dress like him in the 80s.
Oh my God.
Did you really?
Yeah, I like to wear that makeup. Like different colors and stuff. Yeah.
Go ahead and sing a little bit of Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Oh, wait. Do you really want to make me cry? You don't want to make me cry. You know, you don't want to see that. You hear me? Or come a chameleon. You come and go.
You come and go.
You got to come and go.
My gosh, you two.
Little did you know.
What,
all right, let's find out if she's really the real deal. What is Boy George's real name?
Oh, man. What is his name? Oh.
I asked you.
Boy.
No.
George. That's his name.
See, you could have Googled it, but I'm pretty sure it's George Dowd, D-O-W-D.
That would make sense.
Does that sound right?
But see, hey, I bet you ain't know he used MAC makeup. Mm-hmm.
What kind of makeup?
MAC.
What's that?
See, you don't know about that. Mm-hmm.
No.
You're not a real fan.
Well, I also don't shop for makeup all that often, Donna.
Well, why not? He did.
Well, I mean, I'm comfortable with wearing makeup. I just choose not to do it.
Oh, well, I understand. You know, every now and then, everybody needs a little tune-up, and his was just a little tuned. You know, I understand. You hear me? So how y'all been?
We're doing great.
Having a good time. How's the weather today in Delaware, and in what part of Delaware do you reside?
I reside in Newark, Delaware, and I've been able to tiptoe through the tulips. You hear me?
Now it's Tiny Tim.
Beautiful.
Do you know who Tiny Tim is?
Do I know Tiny Tim? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know who Tiny Tim is.
He did that song Tiptoe Through the Tulips, and
he a Jersey boy.
Yeah, I was just praying that you weren't going to dive into that song.
See? Oh, no. I'm an 80s girl. You hear me? But yeah, tiptoe through the tulips. It is a gorgeous day out here, and I've been tiptoeing through the tulips. So how y'all been? Y'all been good, right?
We have been good. So what is your foodie adventure for the week?
Oh, well, I got a joke for you, all right? You ready for my joke?
Okay, we are ready.
Right. You ready now?
We're ready.
Now, how did a chicken cross the road?
Uh-oh.
Why did chicken cross the road? Why did he?
Carol, I'll let you take
that. No, I'm going to let you take it.
Why did the chicken? Well, I mean, the conventional wisdom is to get to the other side, Donna.
No, he was running from Crisco and Wesson.
Crisco. God. You know, I think June writes her jokes.
Yeah, right. He was running because he knew.
Yeah.
He was running from Crisco and Wesson.
Donna, Donna, put your weekly reader down and talk food with us for a minute.
I'm getting today. Now, you know, the reason why God didn't never put me on an ark, because he knew I would eat those two chickens.
It would be a chicken and a rooster, but
I'm getting to my weekly thing.
Now, oh, okay.
Ted and I, we watched this TV show a long time ago, and it was a really robust woman on there. She was really, really robust. Just say she had a problem with putting the fork, the knife, the spoon, and the cup and the plate down. And she was eating, she was eating this fried chicken from the bed, from this popular food chain, straight out the bucket. And she goes, this is some good chicken, right? So every time I fry chicken, Teddy says, what do you say, Teddy?
Some good chicken.
You hear me? That's how he do it. He always says, this is some good chicken. Now my first attempt to fry some chicken was an epic fail. Just say that the chicken had a pulse and that Count Dracula would have loved to eat my chicken, but my husband didn't. So after, for many years, I didn't fry chicken. I was afraid to fry chicken. So one day I told my cousin Boo that I couldn't fry chicken. And she told me, yes, you can. You can fry chicken. All you need to do is poke that chicken near the bone and turn it over, which made sense. Because every now and then, my husband has to poke and turn me so that I can turn out right.
Bada boom, bada bing.
So my cousin, right? Now, she'll go down as the best chicken fryer in my book. And the reason why she will go down as the best chicken fryer in my book is my daughter and her granddaughter used to eat her chicken flour. Now, if you got people eating your chicken flour, you got to be a bad mamma jamma when it comes to frying chicken. You got to be. When you have people eating your flour, I'm not just talking about eating your chicken, but they're eating your chicken flour. Now, after many years of mixing and frying up chicken, I'll come up with this recipe. Now, here goes my recipe now. You'll need 2 cups of all-purpose flour. You'll need 1 cup of pancake mix. I use Aunt Jemima. You'll need 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt. You'll need 1 teaspoon of Mrs. Dash regular. Now, you'll need 3 packets of my famous Seasoning, and you'll need 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. You'll need 1/4 teaspoon of cumin, and you'll need 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Now, when it comes down to frying chicken, it's about the oil. It's all about the oil. You got to have the right oil. Just like anything, you got to have right oil. So I do not use cheap oil. I use good oil. I use Wesson oil because it doesn't burn and it doesn't make my chicken greasy. I then cooked this chicken last Sunday. I took 8 pieces of chicken, and I have to cook the thigh. I cooked the thigh and the wing. And you'll understand why I only cook thighs in my house, because my husband, you know, he's a thigh man.
He really is.
Yeah, you wait. And if once you get a look at me, you'll realize why he's a thigh man. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to take that flour and that pancake mix and the seasoning, and you're going to take one packet of Seasoning, and you're going to place it in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. And I use 2 because just in case you shaking it up too hard and it busts, and you don't want chicken flour everywhere. So I use 2 Ziploc bags, and I place my seasoning along with my flour inside the Ziploc bag, and I shake it all up, and I set that to the side. Now, if you're not going to use 18 pieces of chicken like I did last week, what you can do is take out enough flour for enough chicken that you're going to make, just as long as you don't use the flour once you put the chicken in, because that's a no-no.
Yep.
Because now it's contaminated, and you got to throw that chicken flour in the trash. Now, you're going to clean your chicken, and then you're going to sprinkle the other 2 packets of Seasoning on your chicken, and you're going to rub it well, and then you're going to place as many pieces of chicken into your flour bag, and then you're going to shake it. And then you're going to pour your oil into a large chicken fryer. Now, I have a large chicken fryer that I just used for frying chicken, and I didn't had it for 12 years now. Now, I put enough oil in my pan, and I leave an inch at the top of my pan so that my yard bird, be able to fit in there into the hot tub, because you don't want to overflow. You
know? The hot tub.
Yeah, that's the hot tub. We ready to get it cracking. We ready to get it cracking, lacking. You know, when you get in the hot tub, it's all nice and warm and juicy. You know, that's how the chicken got to be. It's your hot tub. So, and this is what I do. I put it on medium high, and my stove is normally set at 6, and I let that go for 10. I put my oil on for like 10 minutes, and so I touch the lid, and I see if I can touch it. If I can't touch it no more, then it's hammer time. You can't touch this. So then I place one piece of my chicken at a time into my hot oil, and I shake off the excess flour. I do not crowd my chicken, because my chicken got to drop down and get its eagle on. So you place all your chicken in there, and you let it cook for about 5 minutes, and I put the lid on. Now, don't leave your chicken unattended, because you don't want no grease fire, and you don't want no burnt up chicken. That's a negative. So then I take a two-pronged fork, and I jab my chicken at the bone, and then I turn it over, and I poke it along the bone, and then I let that go for 5 minutes. And then I keep poking and turning, just like my cousin Boo told me, poke and turn, for about 15 to 18 minutes, depending on what type of chicken I'm frying. Then I take paper towel and my cookie sheet, and then once my chicken's done, I place my chicken on the paper towel and let it drain. And now, this is what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to bow y'all's heads, okay? Fold your hands and bow your heads. It's this. Oh, God, you are so great. Because you done put good chicken on my plate. Can I get an amen?
Amen, sister.
All right, now. We done did it. You hear me? We done fried up some good chicken.
Oh, happy day.
You hear me? Right, we can get our shout on, but let's make sure my hat or my wig don't fall off, because you don't want that happening in church.
Oh,
that's a negative.
Okay, listen, I have a question. So you don't put your chicken, it doesn't go into two batters, like a wet and a dry.
No.
It just is the dry.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Mm-hmm. This ain't Colonel Sanders. This is Donna Sanders.
Okay.
It ain't wet. There ain't nothing wet about it. You hear me? And wait, Teddy, all my chickens always what, Teddy?
Good chucker.
That's right. You hear me?
I love that guy.
Teddy's awesome. Daryl's going to be really jealous that Teddy talked today and he didn't hear him.
Wait. He always tells me and last week I thought I was going to have a fit. Last week I saw a lady on TV, and every time I watch this channel, I always have to go on another diet. Now, this chick was frying chicken from the bed. She had a card table. You know them card tables?
Yeah.
And they put a fry daddy on top of the card table.
Ooh.
And she was frying chicken from the bed. Now, I said, that's 7 shades of not right. I was so mad. I said, that was not right that they let that lady fry chicken from the bed. Chicken from the bed.
All right, I got to ask you this question, Donna. Is your chicken better than Popeye's? Because that
Popeye's.
I love Popeye's.
Wait. My chicken make you slap your mama's mama.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You might wake up your great-great-grandmama out of the grave and slap her, too.
There's your answer, Mike.
All right, so I'll accept that. Will you ever be coming north to New Hampshire so that you can cook a chicken dinner?
When y'all invite me, I'm going to come. You hear me?
Donna, you have an open-end invitation.
I got open invitations. Huh?
Yes.
Wait. Whenever y'all invite me and y'all make all the arrangements, Donna's coming.
Oh, I see. We're paying for her flight on Southwest.
Wait, I'm a specialty item, you know? You got to treat me. Wait, are y'all a specialty type of station? Are y'all a Payless? Are y'all Nine West? Are y'all Jimmy Choo's? Which one y'all?
We're Payless. Trust me.
Payless? Oh, no.
Star Jones.
Wait. We ain't got the Nine West yet.
No.
Well, we're going to help. We're going to get the Nine West. We're going to at least get the Nine West, y'all. Well,
and Carol loves shoes.
I'm going to still come anyway, because I'm the type of girl who can rock Payless, rock Jimmy Choo, and rock Nine West. And
you
still be the baddest thing out there.
You can rock anything.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Hey, can I get an amen?
You can get an amen, an shakalaka, a boom, boom, bang, and all that tonight. You hear me? And don't forget my kin. You hear me? Remember, life is for living and food is for giving. And Donna's out of here. Talk to y'all later.
Next week.
See you later.
Bye.
a classic segment with Donna's Delights.
Unbelievable.
Now, I got to ask you, Carol, when you and Daryl met her and her husband in Cayman Islands, right?
Grand Cayman, yep.
Approximately what number of cocktail were you on at that point?
Daryl and I were on a couple.
Yeah.
They do not drink.
They don't? I mean, she just normally wound up like this?
She is totally normally wound up like that. And that's her and her husband as well. They're both wonderful, wonderful people. And, yeah.
She does all the talking though, right? He says two things, good chicken. And that's all he knows how to say. Good chicken.
We met them at the party, the welcome party at the resort.
Oh.
That Monday night. And, we stuck with them for, I mean, we didn't like hang. We met, you know, on the beach a little bit, and then we did meet them one night for dinner, and but just very, very nice people. But she knows her food, and
sure.
She's a foodie, so, you know.
She, I tell you what, I would like to package her up and get her on the Food Network because
she has so much
personality. Wow.
She does. She'd be awesome. She really would. And that's her dream. That is her dream.
The sad thing about people like that is they have this dream, but they don't really know what to do and what it takes.
Yep.
To actually do that. And it's not just, I mean, once in a while somebody gets lucky and sends a tape to the Food Network, but what she'd have to do is get on the next Food Network star.
Exactly.
Which is kind of the American Idol version of, you know, tomorrow's big, you know, like Guy Fieri. That's how if it wasn't for that, we may never have heard of Guy Fieri.
And, you know, did you ever hear Guy Fieri's story about when he first got onto Food Network star?
I probably have, but I'd like to hear your take on it.
He, all his friends are the ones that said, I'm not sure if he was out of a job or the job he was in didn't like, or, you know, it was something like that. And his friends kept saying, you would be great for the next Food Network star. And he's like, there's no way I'm doing it. There's just no way. And it got to the deadline, and his friends put in the nomination, or however they do it, to get the call back to go on to the show or to go for audition or something. And all of a sudden he gets a phone call, and they're like, you know, you need to come. We're going to pick you. And he's like, what are you talking about? He had no idea what they were talking about. And they explained who he was. They gave him the day and whatever to be in New York at the studio, da-da-da. Well, he never went. His friends found out he never went, whatever. And again, Food Network called them back, and they're like, we really want you to come in. So I'm not exactly sure what happened right after that, but so he got picked, and then he shows up for the day of the taping. And he's so funny the way that he explains it. When he walked in, he had, you know, I mean, his classic shorts on.
Right.
With his
sunglasses
shirt,
on, the spiky
sunglasses
hair.
Sunglasses backwards.
Right. Yep.
And just kind of walked in. And he said, and everybody is dressed to the hilt. And here I walk in, and they're all like, who the heck is this guy? And I guess he was late and all this, and he won.
Well, he was just that different.
I guess.
And that's what it takes sometimes.
I guess. But his friends are the ones that really made him do it. He did not want to do it.
He must have at some point done some kind of videotape for the heck of it that they got a hold of, because I'm pretty sure.
Maybe they did.
They would not call somebody if they didn't see something first.
Yeah.
There's just too many people.
Yeah. There's some details that I must be missing. But that's kind of the gist of
it. That's a great story.
Yeah. We need to go on a short break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we are going to speak with Chef Patrick. And today's topic is pasta.
Yay!
How ironic. And we also have a pasta trivia too to give out too. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back with Chef Patrick.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. We're on 107.7 FM. And let's just go right into our next segment. This show is zipping through. And let's welcome on Chef Patrick from Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village. And today we are talking about pasta. So how's it going, Chef Patrick?
It's going great. I'm sorry I got a call in, but I wanted to be there. I missed sitting there and talking with you folks, you know. So I'd much rather be there, but duty calls. And as we were talking, I was just listening before you came on there. I have a quick story. You're talking about Guy Fieri. Is that what you were talking about before?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I have a quick story. I had one time I applied for the next Food Network star, and
cool.
I applied for it just for fun, whatever, with friends. And so I ended up getting a casting call, same series as Guy Fieri, a casting call in Boston at the Bullfinch Hotel. And it was funny that you were saying that, not to get off subject, but
no,
I ended up
cool.
I ended up chickening out and not going there because I had two small children. You have to take like 6 months off to go do this. And I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, do you get paid for this? There's so many different questions. So, you know, I never did that, but it was pretty funny. That's pretty interesting. I was listening to the whole story and everything else too. So,
well, Chef Patrick, would you ever consider doing that again? Or you know, I assume the kids are older now by probably 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. You know, my youngest at the time was 2, and then my other oldest was 6. Now they're 7 and 12. I would consider doing it, you know, looking back at it. It would seem like it would be fun, you know, but, at the same time, you know, it's like it's the unknown that just, you know, stopped you from doing it, you know. So it's
Are you good under pressure? In other words, because basically they just throw them into the fire, give them some ingredients, and an unreasonably short amount of time to produce something. And, you know, if you don't have it, man, you're just going to melt down on stage.
That's my absolute favorite way to cook is off the cuff. And I'll tell you, like, when we do it, I do this with students. We give them what's called a mystery basket and just give them basic ingredients. Here's a protein, here's a cheese, there's some fruit in there or something like that. And you have to, you know, create something. And you'll be baffled at how many people will sit there and look at the mystery basket and just be so frightened. Like they're going to make a mistake or they're going to be just, you know, just baffled by what am I going to do? You know? So it's one of those things that you look at and it doesn't scare you. If you know the basics of cooking, you know, it shouldn't scare you. You know, it should be fun, you know, so.
Oh, see, I would be one of those would have fear across my face. I do. When I watch those shows and I see the basket, I freak out. I'm like, what are they going to do? And I don't even know what the ingredients are yet. And
you know, the one show, that Chopped show, yep. That's on there, that gets a little crazy. You know, when they're giving you jelly beans and bacon and then you, you know, the salmon or something like that, you know. So,
well, you know what?
That would be my luck.
I interviewed Ted Allen, who hosts that show, a couple years ago, and I said, what kind of masochists put these baskets together?
Yeah, right.
And he said, basically, there is a rhyme or reason for everything that they do. It's not just random, even though it appears that way. And he says, usually, once in a while, somebody will figure out exactly what the theme is or what the inside joke is. But everyone is very thoughtfully put together, although to us lay people watching, it doesn't look like it to me, and I don't think I would do very well. I mean, I'm okay, but I'm not trained at all, so I would collapse.
Me too.
You know, and I've heard also, too, there's also they give them a little bit of heads up. At least, you know, you get about half an hour to think about what you're going to do with some of the ingredients because they give you the main ingredient half an hour. So that's what I've heard on some of, like, the Iron Chef shows and things like that. So,
that's cool.
I love doing that. You can always figure something out, you know, out of everything. But it's one of those things that it's not realistic cooking as far as, like, it is, but because it's like, okay, you go into a restaurant and what am I going to do? I need a special for the day. You know, that part is interesting. But you're not having to do a special with jelly beans and, like I said, salmon, you know, type of thing. So that's a little crazy. So, and then you're also at the same time, you know, those cooking shows, you know, it's speed cooking. You know, it's, you know, when you get in a restaurant, you have time to prepare and kind of, you know, create your specials and things. But at the same time, you know, they want to see how you do under pressure too. Well, restaurants are busy places, you know.
Well, without any drama, they're just wouldn't be a show. I mean, let's face it.
Absolutely.
You watch it because it's like watching a train wreck. You're waiting for, you know, it's like NASCAR, waiting for the next crash around the bend. Sometimes it happens.
Just like that. I mean, I guess the show Honey Boo Boo wouldn't be on either, you know?
Oh, God.
If there's any train wreck, I guess that's why. Add some food into that, and let's see what we come up with, you know?
Well, if it's Honey Boo Boo, it's going to be a bologna sandwich. That's what that's going to be. But I think we want to wind it back here to pasta today, and exactly what did you have in mind, Chef?
So today, what I did, and the reason why I wasn't there today, I had to cover over at Concord High School, one of my jobs that I do as you know, the community college director, is that I create the professional learning committee against, you know, community with myself, but also the local CTE centers, like the culinary centers at the high schools, and then we also go, you know, to the business owners, you know, so that we have, you know, professionals that go out into the industry and things like that. So I was covering class today, teaching. And just so happened I'm doing pasta today, you know. So we did had all the students. It was mostly juniors and seniors, and just the basic ways of making pasta. Pasta is so simple. It's one of the things that I love to do. It's one of my favorite things to do. One of the things that I grew up on. and just matching it with different sauces. And it's very simple. I mean, I usually use a basic recipe of 3 cups of flour, 2 tablespoons of oil, 2 or 3 eggs in salt and pepper. And, you know, you mix the dough and you make it sit, and then you can roll it out, you know, and make all sorts of shapes and sizes. We made raviolis today, tortellinis. We also made fettuccine. We also made angel hair as well. We made pappardelle pasta, and I matched it with like a bolognese sauce, and I did it with a marinara sauce, and then a creme rosa sauce, and an Alfredo sauce. And of course, once you start doing that, it's just a home run after that, you know. So,
make that like just off the wall. I mean, you are a chef, and you have to teach the students and stuff. See, to me, thinking about making my own pasta, major pressure. Don't you need a machine for that, Chef Patrick?
You do, and that's, you know, I was talking about that today, and it's very cheap to get into. You can get one of those small pasta rollers, and you go right down to one of your kitchen stores. They're $25, you know, depending on the pasta roll. If it's a hand cranked pasta roller, you know, you're looking at $25 for a small one. You can get up to $50 for a larger one, all the way up to, you know, some pasta rollers are like $500 if you get to do the fancy ones for the industrial ones. But relatively for home cooking, it's very, very simple to get into.
So do you need to roll the pasta out if you have a machine, or do you just like what if you use like a food processor I'm maybe not saying the right word, but, you know, something to mix up the dough, and then you just take the dough and put it in the machine?
Yeah. And what you do is, you know, with your basic hand rollers, you're going to roll them out and you're going to make like sheets. You're going to make pasta sheets. So you can, from there, you can make lasagna. You can make pappardelle pasta. You can make fettuccine. You can make linguine. You can make spaghetti. They have just special, these pasta machines come with special cutters. Now, if you're going to get into the more intricate pastas, as far as like, you know, penne or ziti, or you're going to do elbow, it comes in like an extruder is what it's called. So it's almost like a meat grinder. So you have a little plate on the end of it. And you put it through, and a lot of pasta, these pasta, Italian pasta places that are heavy Italian restaurants will have those, and they'll make their own pasta, make up the dough, put it through the extruder, and then make their own ziti, their own pasta, and it kind of pushes out and makes tubes and things like that. So what you're talking about with pasta is just different shapes, you know, and it's, every shape holds the pasta differently. And then you come up with some great sauces and great ingredients, and like I said, it's some of my favorite food ever.
So if we want to make it more on the healthy side, what do you suggest?
I suggest, you know, I debate back and forth as far as pasta. A lot of people will go out there, I'm going to get the whole wheat pasta, and I'm going to get the, I'm just like, oh, you know, if you're going to eat pasta, you might as well just go all in. I'm not a big whole wheat pasta fan. I kind of think it tastes like cardboard, you know, type of thing, like the low-carb pasta or different things like that, or now they have quinoa pasta for gluten-free and things like that, but, you know, I'm kind of like, you might as well go all in. But if you were going to do a healthier pasta, I would say the pasta is not so bad by itself. It's the sauce that you put with it. Obviously, if you're putting in Alfredo sauce, you're talking about cream and you're talking about cheese. Pretty basic, pretty simple. But if you were to take, like, you know, chicken, like grilled chicken, and use like a, you know, like broccoli or some healthy vegetables with it, and do like a wine, you know, chicken stock with it, or you know, some sort of light wine sauce, that would be more of a healthier option to go.
Okay. What about putting vegetables in the pasta? How about doing that?
It's like spinach.
Oh, you can infuse that. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So would you put that like in with the dough, and then it would come out in the pasta? Okay.
Yeah. We used to do at some of the restaurants that we've done, and I'm talking going back to working in Providence, Rhode Island. I went to Johnson Wales and had worked on Federal Hill with some of the places that I've worked at, and they would make a tricolored pasta. Be one section you kind of bundle together. Where if you infuse spinach into it, it would be green, and then your normal pasta. And then we would take carrot and make an orange and make a striped pasta. You make ravioli out of them, and they looked really, really neat. You know, all the way till you could even infuse them. We've done them with squid ink pasta, so you take squid ink and make it black.
No way.
Oh yeah, makes it black, and squid ink doesn't have any flavor to it. So you would fuse that into the pasta. We'd make all sorts of linguine. It would come out black and funky, but it tastes like regular pasta, and you could do all sorts of crazy dishes with it, and people love it.
I just can't go into Market Basket and say, "Where's the squid ink section?" Would that be the spices?
No. No, I don't imagine that they would have squid. Although Market Basket does have some crazy ingredients.
They do have crazy stuff.
I just last night I went and we had a dessert class. I bought lychee nuts there. They had quail eggs sitting right next to the lychee nuts. So, oh yeah, it was crazy. So they have pretty good. So I wouldn't doubt if they had some of that stuff. I'm even seeing some pâtés there and everything else too. But they also, you'll see some of the tri-colored pastas, which is pretty much what I was just explaining to you there. But I doubt you'll see squid ink pasta unless you go to an Italian market somewhere.
All right, let me ask you this, Chef Patrick. When you are creating your own pasta fresh, is it best to eat it, say, within 24 hours? Otherwise, you might as well just buy it out of the box because it's just going to dry out and get hard.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. What happens is you roll out the pasta and at home, if you're doing it, they sell these those little racks. Like you ever see those, those wooden racks that extend and you hang them like you used to hang your socks on when you're a kid, type of thing when you're back in the olden days to dry. They sell those and those are like pasta racks. And the intention is to dry them. But even when you dry pasta out like that, you want to eat it within, a couple of days or so, just to get the freshness of it. Because fresh pasta cooks up in literally a minute. If you have boiling water, you drop it in, you get it out, and you toss it with whatever ingredients and sauce that you're going to use.
Well, I do have to say, I am very intrigued. I never would have thought I'd even be entertaining the tiniest thought about me making my own pasta. But, I am intrigued.
Oh, you know what? Next week when we come in, I'll bring you some fresh pasta, and you can taste the difference. And this is what I did with the students today, is I got box pasta, which you can get for a dollar, which is very inexpensive. And I paired it with the different sauces, the bolognese sauce, the cremosa sauce, the Alfredo sauce, and I did it different ways, and I did it, side by side with each other. And the amazement is just because the dried pasta tends to be a lot thicker that you get in the store, because they make it thick because it dries and it shrinks. But it's also a lot more tough, whereas fresh pasta is just so much more delicate and palatable, so.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Tuscan Kitchen in Salem. Have you been there, Chef?
Yeah.
You know that when you're getting a meal there, the pasta was made, probably just minutes before. And they also have the Tuscan Market where you can go in and buy, fresh pasta they just made. Or they have a counter filled with, like lasagnas and all kinds of Italian specialties that are pasta and made right there. And you don't ever want to buy the stuff in the bags again. It's just that if you don't make it at home, what choice do you have?
Oh, yeah, no. And, it's funny you said it because we just went there and I still have some in the freezer, some of their braised short rib pasta.
Yes.
And that's the raviolis. That's the best thing about when I made raviolis today. We just did a basic three cheese ravioli, but you can put in anything you want into it. When you start making your own pastas and you learn how to make ravioli, very simple to do. People go out and they used to have also on Federal Hill, they had a Venda ravioli, which was this fresh pasta, and they made everything from gorgonzola walnut raviolis, to you name it, spinach and lobster to you name it, whatever inside the raviolis. But it's very simple to make. But a lot of times people just they don't have the time to do it. It's time consuming. But if you learn how to make it and you learn how to do a basic filling, I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than that.
Oh, my gosh, I'm intrigued. You never know.
Well, look at that. You're making progress, Patrick, because we interviewed a marathon runner this week.
Oh, yeah?
He's also a trainer. He's done 90 marathons, and Carol is possibly entertaining the idea of running a marathon at some point.
So really? I can say that I have never run a marathon before. I don't plan to in the future at all. But the hat's off to you.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. It's he still hasn't sent me the packet of what is expected of me. So, but anyway.
But I guess having that pasta ahead of time will give you the fuel.
Carbo
loaded.
That's right. Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that might be fun then.
I think I've carb loaded too much. I think so my marathon hasn't run yet.
I think it's break time. We're gonna take a quick break, right?
Yes. We'll probably let you go, Patrick. You probably
okay,
need
well,
to get
thanks.
Going.
Okay, well, thanks. I probably apologize about being there, but what? I'll see you next week.
That's perfect. I'll be in touch with you, and we'll be talking next week. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye, Chef Patrick.
Have a good one.
See you later.
All right. And you're listening to Food for Thought, and we are going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Gosh, we're talking pastas and sauces and all that kind of stuff.
Well, don't stop now, Carol.
You're right. Let's just go right into we have a trivia, and we have a great package to give away. We have all kinds of gift certificates. I'll have to look up in my bag, but I can assure you that the package will be good for the listener.
So. But there'll be dining certificates?
Oh, yes, dining certificates for sure. Many of them. Okay, listeners, the number is 866-823-1077, and it's on pasta. So if you've been listening, this should be pretty easy. So this cut of pasta resembles the writing end of an old-fashioned quill pen. Hence its name. It is tubular and cut on the diagonal. What is the name of this pasta?
Bic.
Bic. 866-823-1077. That is the number to call to win a prize package from Food
Just Spot. A boatload of stuff here that
yes,
Carol's...
we have. I mean, we have spatulas. We have...
But we want dining. We want food.
Oh, we've got food.
As long as we have
you know, Red Arrow Diner, Jay's Tavern, Puerto Vallarta.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a few.
Gonna load it up. All right, give us the question one more time.
Okay,
for those that may have missed it.
Yeah, the question is: this cut of pasta resembles the writing end of an old-fashioned quill pen, hence its name. It is tubular and cut on the diagonal. What is the type of pasta this is? 866-823-1077.
Have you stumped the boys and girls so far?
I think so.
I'm going to give a clue. The answer is actually contained in a title of a Beatles song.
We have John calling in.
John, hi, John. Is calling. Hey, John.
Hi.
How are you?
ZD.
I'm sorry?
ZD.
Your answer is ZD?
No, it's not ZD.
No, think of the cut of the angle. That's even though they're sort of similar, this is not the case. I'm sorry, John.
Sorry, John.
Thanks for your try. All right.
Thank you.
877... Give me the rest 866-823-1077.
866-823-1077. And we have caller Samantha on. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Are you calling from work today? Or?
No, I'm going to pick up my child at school.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Cool.
So do you know the answer? Cut a pasta that resembles... It is penne.
As in Penny Lane, the barber shaves another customer, the Beatles song.
Excellent.
All right, you won. That's
yes.
awesome.
Yes, wow.
All right.
Are you a pasta fan, and what is your favorite type of pasta?
I actually do like penne.
Oh, you do? Wow.
I do.
I like penne also.
Yeah.
I do. Like, you know, if you go to a restaurant, a pasta, you know, like an Italian restaurant, and you get a side of pasta, I always get the penne.
It holds the sauce well.
Yes, it does. It does.
So. Very good. All right. So Bob back at the studio will get your information and tell you how to get your prizes.
And he'll email it to me and I will send it right out.
All right.
Thank you so much. Enjoy
have
your
a
day.
Great day. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right.
All right. And, you know, I just want to mention, this was in last week's paper. It was in on Friday. Mm-hmm. And remember we had Tom Boucher on from Great New Hampshire Restaurants.
That's right. T-Bones, Cactus Jack's, Copper Door.
Yes. Have you gone to the new market?
I have not.
I have not either. I got to get over there. I have to get over there. I want to check it out.
They're expanding beyond
it's crazy.
Actually food service
yes.
to something that's actually going to help people like you as well, who is a restaurant owner.
Yes. Well, I happen to be a charter member. I feel like really important.
Okay.
And he even mentions us in this in the news
so,
article.
So what is it that they've come up with?
It is Criddick, K-R-I-D-D-I-K. And listeners, you can check it out, Criddick.com, and it gives you all the information there. And it basically offers an alternative to Yelp. It's a direct feedback right to the business owner. And I've already gotten a couple of, they call them critties,
okay.
K-R-I-D-D-I.
Yes.
And it basically, they go to the restaurant and, you know, it could be a compliment. It could be, you know, something that may not be right. It, you know, whatever the case may be. And you can go right on your phone as you're sitting there. And you fill out a short form, and then you only have 280 characters. So you need to get right to the point. In other words, you know, sometimes when you look on those Yelp things, they are like 3 pages
yeah,
long.
Yeah, people basically have diarrhea of the fingers.
They do, and it's crazy. And from, you know, us business owners' perspective, it, you know, one of those can kill you. They really can. And what the one of the unique things about Criddick is you take a picture of your receipt, so we know that you were there. And then when they send in the critty, it comes directly to me. It's amazing. And the other day when I met I had a meeting over there last week, 9 in the morning. I got there, you know, about 10 of 9, 5 of 9. And all of a sudden, my phone dings, and I look up, and I got a critty.
From somebody in the restaurant at that time?
Well, I had just missed them. They were there at 8:37 a.m. So when I got it and I read it, you know, it was the first one really. Well, I got some test ones, but it was like my first official one. And when I looked at it, I was like, I immediately looked around to see if a customer was there, and because you could see the receipt. And basically, bottom line, there was something wrong with one of his biscuits. We make homemade biscuits. I showed the general manager. He went out back, fixed the situation just like that. They weren't putting the cover on the fish bucket, keeping them fresh, and the bottom half of his biscuit was hard. But the manager fixed it right away. It was just amazing.
That's awesome.
And, you know, in real time. So it was really cool. So
speaking of real time, we're out of it.
We are out of time. So, well, Kale and Company is up next, listeners. And Mike and I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.